Boker Tov, and welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. Today we are going to focus on the issue of Giyur, of conversion, and we begin at the bottom of Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, and we will continue till Menchet Amud Bet at the bottom, the end of this particular sugya. Afterwards, we will have one more podcast till the end of the parak. About 12 lines from the bottom of the Amud, Tana Rabbanan. Ger Shabalikeya Bizman Azeh. If a convert wants to come, and note is Bizman Azeh, because we noted earlier in some eras we do not accept Geri. A Ger comes to convert Bizman Azeh. Rimlo Maraita Shabata Lihitkayer. So the first thing we do is we ask him, why do you want to convert? Don't you know that it's difficult to be Jewish? That it's a politically and socially a challenge? And this is the formula that you say. Don't you know that Am Yisrael are persecuted and oppressed and pressured? Be serene by Yin Aleim, and they have afflictions. Right? If the guy says, yes, I know, and I'm really not worthy to join, but please accept me anyways, then we accept him immediately. Parenthetically, almost the entire sugya that we have today is this Braita that we're in the beginning of, and the discussion about the Braita. So we're going to read the Braita through, and then for quite a bit, we're going to be analyzing it piece by piece. So the first thing that happens, if the person comes and he says, and we tell him that it's difficult, then why do you want to join? He says, yes, I know that, and nonetheless, I want to join, even though I'm not worthy. We accept him immediately, and then we go to the next stage. And we notify him about some of the mitzvot, not all of the mitzvot, but some of the lighter mitzvot, whatever that may mean, and some of the more serious mitzvot. And then we notify him specifically about the mitzvot relating to tzedakah, and most specifically about the mitzvot relating to tzedakah from the land.
We let him know about the consequences for violating mitzvot.
We tell him as follows: until you converted, if you ate non-kosher food, there's no consequences. Chilalta shabbat yatanosh skila. There's no consequences for chilul Shabbat. Achshav achalta chelev anosh karet, achalta Shabbat anosh skila. And now, you chayev karet, you chayev skila. There's all sorts of ritual restrictions that you've taken upon yourself that now have consequences. So be aware of what you're getting yourself into.
Okasheshem odino to unshan shal mitzvot, just like we notify him about the punishment, kach modino to matan scharan.
We don't make it an all bleak picture. We also let him know what tremendous reward there is for somebody who fulfills the mitzvot. Be aware that the world to come is waiting for only for tzadikim. And what we experience today is not all of the greatness, and it's also not all of the punishment. And like Rashi points out, because the Yetzer Hara will get the best of them and argue and say, you'll see that Am Yisrael is not doing so well. They must not really be the holders of the truth, or you see that they're not being punished so severely. So that must mean that they really are not that close to God, that they're being held so accountable. So we tell them that that's not indeed the case anymore. Ve'imar bin alav. We don't play overkill with this. Ve'imar dakta kin alav. We're not too punctilious with him. Kibel, if after all of that he says, nonetheless, I want to convert, malin oto miyad, we do brit milah immediately, nishtayru bo tzitzina makvina tar milah, if any flesh strands are left that are in the way of the milah, and we'll explain what that means, chozrim malin oto shniyah, then we go back and fix that also, nitra pei, once he is healed, matbilin oto miyad, we'll see why we have to wait, but once he's healed, we put him in the mikvah immediately, ushnei tamidei chachamim, we're going to fix this that it won't be two, but three, scholars, omdim al gabavu modiin oto miktsat mitzvot chalikalom miktsat mitzvot chamurot, and they stand over him as he's in the mikvah, and they remind him of the mitzvot that they were mentioned earlier, some light and some serious. Taval v'Allah hareu ki Yisrael l'chol dvarav. Once he goes in the mikvah and comes out, he's 100% Jew for every purpose. We'll see what that means or the implications. It's v'tini shav. It's a woman. Nashim oshivot otav amayim ad savara. The women put her in the water until her neck. Again, it's really three. Omdim la mibachutz. They stand outside of the mikvah. And they again notify her, and then, but of course, they're not in when she goes into the mikvah. Echad ger, echad eved neshuchrar. And this applies to a ger or to an eved who was being freed, and that will occupy a good part of our attention this morning. Uvmakom shenida tovelet sham ger ve'eved mishuchar tovlin. And the same sort of a mikveh that is valid for a nida, so a ger and an eved also are valid. Chol davar shechotzeis b'tefilah chotzeis b'ger ve'eved mishuchar, and the same rules of chatzitza, of rubo makpid, rubo v'eno makpid, miutu makpid, midrabanan, rubo makpid midoraita, are considered a chatzitza, uvenida. Good. Now, that's the end of the braita. Let's take it apart. Amar mar. The first thing we said was, ger shabbat ger, umrim lo mar ra'ita shabbat ger, modim oto mitzvot, mitzvot kalot, mitzvot chamurot. Now, why do we tell him all this? My time of the parish nifrosh, that if he's going to say no, let him say no at the beginning. So the first thing that we do is we tell him, listen, becoming Jewish means you're taking upon yourself the restriction of avodah zarah, restrictions of food, and obligation of certain mitzvot, so that if he's going to leave, let him leave now. The Amra Vichel, well, Kashim Gerim li Yisrael kesapachat. Because the truth is, Gerim are not always a blessing. They are as challenging and difficult to Am Yisrael like a plague. A plague of Tzarat. Tiv, Vaha Ger Alehem v'nispechu al Beit Yaakov. L'sapeach means to attach, and they become attached to Beit Yaakov, like the curse to Eli that his children will come and say, Sfachenina alachata gunot, attach me, let me hang on. But here the idea is that they are like a sapachat, like a tzarat. So therefore we want to make sure that we filter out any gerim who are not really serious and know what they're getting into. We don't want somebody who's going to become Jewish and then say, oh, I don't know how to keep these mitzvot. I didn't know about that. I'm not up to it. Let's make sure he's serious. Good. Notice that we made a big deal about letting him know about tzedakah. Why? My tam, amrchia bar abram yochanan, benoach neraga pochet misham pruta. Because the halacha is that among the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, one of them is Gzela, is the prohibition of Gzela. And for all the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, the punishment is one and the same, it's execution. And there are no shiurim of Sheva Pruta, Pachas Sheva Pruta, meaning that if a goy steals the Pachas Sheva Pruta, the onus is Mita, and by the way, Veloni Talmi Shavon, and he can't even return it. After all, what do you do if you're Jewish? You steal something, so the mitzvah is Heshivata Gzela, not so with a goy. And therefore, the concern is that the way Rashi posits it is this guy who is now converting and is accustomed to living such a careful life of shalish shalish shalach shalach that everything stays with clear boundaries and mine is mine is yours and yours is yours. Suddenly sees somebody coming into his field to pick, he'll think this guy is a ganav, and so we have to make sure that he knows immediately about leket shikhopea. We don't go too overboard. Why? Amar Balazar, my crowd, dichtiv, batera kimita metzet hilalechadita vatachtal daber eleha. I'm going to put in a shameless plug. I have another series of podcasts on Megillat Rut, which is right now in the middle of Perak Gimel. And so we've already covered this passage in Perak Aleph. But when Rut and Naomi are coming together after Orpah has left them, and Naomi says to Rut, Orpah's already left, why don't you go with her? And Ruth gives six expressions of connection to Naomi. We're going to look at them right now. And after she'd made that declaration, Naomi gave up. So the simple shot in the text in Ruth is Naomi gave up because she saw there was no point. Ruth is going to come with her in any case. But the halachic implication is that we don't push too hard. And once a person commits themselves and says that I'm really accepting all these things, we welcome them with open arms. Now, let's go through the text. If you recall, and take a look in passage number 2 on the page, and I bolded and outlined to distinguish the six different phrases. She says, whither thou goest, I shall go, and whither thou shalt lodge, I will lodge. In other words, wherever you go, I will go with you, I will sleep in the same quarters as you, your nation is my nation, your God is my God, wherever you die, I will die, and I will be buried there. Those are the six phrases. So, Amrala Asir Lang Tchum Shabbat. So here's how Chazal read it. Naomi said to Ruth, because Chazal now read that this is a process of gear that was happening. Naomi said to Ruth, we're not allowed to go trespass beyond the boundaries of Shabbat, as we learned in Eruvin. So she said, Kasher Basher Tochi Elech, I will go where you go, meaning only as far as you go. I will not violate Tchum Shabbat. Asur Lang Yichud, we're not allowed to be alone with the men that are not our husbands, or etc. So I'm going to sleep where you sleep, meaning that I will accept these restrictions of who I stay with. We have 613 mitzvot. So she says, I'm buying into what your nation does. We said we're not allowed to do avodah zarah. So she said, Elohai Echad Elohai, your God is my God, meaning I accept the theological basis and boundaries of Judaism. Arba mitot nimsur leveitin. She said, you know that there's grave consequences, and the Beit Din has four different kinds of execution. She says, Basher tamut yamut, I will accept the same kind of death. Shnei kvarim nimsur leveitin. And you remember, we talked about this a little bit earlier, about the different kinds of kvarim that the Beit Din has for the niskalim and for the nisrafim, Roshayim Gmurim, etc., where they're buried in a special corner of the cemeteries. Meaning, you should understand, Ruth, that not only is there the possibility of, now that you're converting, of violating a law that will lead to execution, but even after your death, you'll be marked out. So she says, V'shame kaver, I'll be buried there, meaning I'm accepting that. Miyad v'terki mitametzati, etc. So immediately Naomi saw that Ruth had accepted it. This is the halachic read of the text, and therefore she stopped pushing. Now, kibel malino to miyad, if the fellow says, I accept this, we do brit milah immediately, we have no delay. My time ashu yimitzvah lo mashinim, because we do not delay doing a mitzvah. Shtar rotzitzina makvina ta milah, if some flesh strands were left that block the milah, can it not? We have the Mishnah, the Shabbat. Eloi mitzitzina makvina milah, we also have it later in Perek Ha'arel. Basar chofet rov ha'atara, it's flesh that covers a majority of the shaft. Ve'en ocho v'truma, such a person, if he's, let's say, a Kohen or an Eved Kohen, is prohibited from eating truma, he has a din of an orel. What Rav says, what does it mean, rov hatara? Basar chofet rov gov hashal hatara. Has to cover majority of the length of the shaft. Okay, nitrapei matbilino to miyad. You said, and once he's better, we put him in the mikvah right away. Nitrapei in lo, nitrapei lo, but that means we wait till he heals. Why don't we put him in the mikvah right away? My time is shown the maya marzumaka. Evidently, the water somehow exacerbates the wound, so we wait till the wound heals of the mila, and then he goes in the mikvah immediately. I told you we were going to fix this. Right, Rabbi Yochanan told the Tana, don't read two when you say the Breita. It should probably be three. Question is, of course, why our Breita wasn't already fixed in its first presentation. So Mishnah lo zazim im koma, we don't change that. But we all know that it really should read three. Good. What do you mean that he's 100% Yisrael? Yisrael mumer karinan bay. Kiddushah of Kiddushin. Let's say after he gets out of the mikveh, he changes his mind. He can change his mind. Once he's coming out of the mikveh, he's 100% Yisrael. And even if he gives Kiddushin to a girl and then decides to go back and be a Christian or a Buddhist or whatever he is, then it's not as if we say, oh, the Kiddushin were nothing. No, the reality is he's a Jew and he's a Yisrael mumar. And Nevach, we have to find some solution for the girl. All right, Achad Ger, Achad Eved Mishchurar. Now, this is going to occupy our attention for a bit. The implication or the understanding of this passage is that the entire procedure we just outlined, with notifying him and having him agree and everything else, is true about a Ger or about the freeing of an Eved. Good. Kasalka Daitech L'Kabal Avol Mitzvot. So we think that the conjoining of the ger and the eved meshuchar is for kabbalat mitzvot. Or aminu, we have the following challenge. We say that the whole procedure of notifying and having him accept it and agree is only true about a ger, but not an eved meshuchar who doesn't need kabbalat mitzvot. So the answer is that our braita reflects the rabbanan. Who says that an Eved Meshuchrar also needs to go through Kabbalat Mitzvot before he is properly Jewish. And the other Breita that said that it's not true about Eved Meshuchrar is Rav Shimon Elazar, who says that it is only when converting a free person that he has to have Kabbalat Mitzvot, but once somebody is an Eved, and then you are being matbil him in order to free him, that's done with coercion, and we don't need his agreement. Tanya, Uvachtat Avyevet Hima. So now we go to the Parsha of Yifat Torah, and I gave the entire Parsha in verse number 3, in passage number 3 on the page, at the beginning of Parsha Kiteitse. And in that Parsha, we say that Uvachtat Aviyah Vetima Yerach Yamim. She has to mourn for her parents for 30 days. That's only if she doesn't voluntarily want to come into the fold. So the Rabbanans say, if she wants to, she can say, I'm interested in joining your people, and you don't have to wait a month. You don't have to go through the whole procedure of the fingernails and the hair and the clothing and everything else. She could right away be matbil her, etc. That's Rabbanan. Shimon Elazar Amar Af Pi Shelo Kibla Aleha. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says you don't need her agreement. Why? Kofa Umatbila L'Shem Shifchut. Here's what you could do. You could take her, put her in the mikveh right away and say L'Shem Shifcha. And then Chozer Matbila L'Shem Shichur. And then right away you say, okay, I'm freeing you. Which means at no point in the process did she have any say in what was going on. Because she's, if you will, spoils of war. So you're taking her as a Shifcha, putting her in the mikveh L'Shem Shifchut. And then immediately going to the next step. And so Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, therefore, from an Eved to a free person, also you don't need Kabbalat Mitzvot. Mashacharat. Mutar Bamiyat. Good. So now this Braita seems to indicate that there's a machloka of Shimon HaLazar, there is a machloka of Shimon HaLazar and Rabbanan about whether when you free a slave, he needs Kabbalat Mitzvot. Shimon HaLazar says he doesn't, and the Chachamim say he does. Rabbi Maitam of Shimon HaLazar, why does he say that? Tichtit, called Eved Ish Minat Kesef, the Pasuk in Parshat Pesach, in Parshat Bo, says, "Call Eved Ish Minat Kesef Umalta Oto Az Yochal Bo." What does it mean, Eved Ish? That means the slave of a man, the slave who is a man. Eved Ish below Eved Isha. But he's saying only the slave of a man needs Mila. What if a slave of a woman doesn't have Brit Mila? He can eat Korban Pesach? And his owners can eat Korban Pesach? That's not true. Ela Eved Ish Atam Mal Bal Korcho. Yatam Mal Ben Ish Bal Korcho. Here's what it means. Only an Eved Ish can you do Brit Mila to him without asking his permission, without consulting with him and getting him to agree. But a Ben Ish, you can't. Meaning, a regular ger, he needs to comply and say, I'm interested. But an Eved doesn't need that. So in other words, he says that the diuk of Eved Ish is to say an Eved Ish you could do coercively, but not a Ben Ish. Ben Ish, we all agree, you cannot. Right, so that's what Shimon Elazar. Rabbanan Amar Ula, Kashem Shiyatamal Ben Ish Bal Korcho, Kach Yatamal Eved Ish Bal Korcho. They say, no, Eved Ish is no different than Ben Ish. You do Brit Milanim, but only if he is agreeable to it. Ve'ela hativ kol Eved Ish. So then why does it say Eved Ish? Shmuel, it's a different halacha that we learn from Eved Ish. Eved Ish now is not an exclusive kind of statement to say only an Eved Ish and not someone else, but rather it's a definitional statement, meaning that if you free your slave, if you're mafkir your slave, declare him ownerless, then he doesn't need to get shichur, and he's immediately free. Shneimar kol eved ish not kesef eved ish velo eved isha ala eved sheish lo reshut l'rabo alav karui eved. Only an eved who has a master owning him is called an eved. Shein reshut l'rabo alav in karui eved. So if nobody owns him, he's not called an eved. There's no such thing as being an inherent eved or an intrinsic eved. You're an eved because you have a master. If you don't have a master, you're not an eved. And we learn that from Eved Ish. Good. Matkiv to our papa. So now our papa challenges the whole take that Rav Sheshet had. Rav Sheshet said that the two brightot, one that says that an Eved Meshuchrar does need to be consulted when he's being freed about his Kabbalat Mitzvot, and the other one that said not. It said that's from Shimon Elazar and Rabbanan. And we got their machloket from Yifat Toar. So Matkiv to our papa. Papa said to Rav Sheshet, Eimur Shamat Lulu Rabbanan and Yifat Toar. We only know that the Rabbanan say you need to consult her, and that's in the case of Fatoar. The Lashaych of Mitzvot. Previous to this, a week earlier, she was a regular non-Jewish woman living in her own world. And now suddenly her people went to war, and Am Yisrael came in and won, and she's taken. She had no connection. It could be that the Rabbanan would agree to Rav Shimon Elazar that a regular Eved doesn't need to be asked. Right? In other words, that perhaps the Rabbanan only took the position they did about Yifat Toar, who had no connection to Mitzvot, so she has to be asked, are you agreeable to accept Mitzvot? If not, so we give her the whole month, and then there's a further procedure. We'll see what that is. We'll see a little piece of what that is. But perhaps when it comes to an Eved, the Eved's already in the world of Mitzvot. He's keeping Shabbos, he's partaking of Truma, if he's an Eved of a Kohen, he's really within the realm of Mitzvot. So Rabbanan perhaps would agree that we don't need his agreement. Right? So how do we know that? Because the Braita says that if you have a ger or an eved you buy from a goy, you need kabbalat mitzvot. So what is that in the implication? So obviously that means that if you buy him from another Jew, you don't need to because he's already in the realm of mitzvot. So Mani, who could be the author of this? Rav Shimon Elazar, if it's Reshba. He says no Eved needs to. So he can't be the author who says that an Eved you buy from a goy needs Kabbalat Mitzvot. What can you infer? That the Rabbanan say that if you take an eved from another Jew, he doesn't need kavalat mitzvot, and certainly if you're freeing him from there, that he doesn't need kavalat mitzvot. So now, how do we reconcile our brayta, which says echad ger ve'echad eved mishuchar?
The answer is ve'elokasha echad ger ve'echad mishuchar tanihil inyan tefila.
In other words, when it said both a ger and an eved mishuchar, all of these things apply. It doesn't mean all of these things kavalat mitzvot. The eved doesn't have to be consulted, doesn't have to be notified. Doesn't have a chance to say I'm not interested, etc. But it means that the tefillah and the milah happen in the same way that they do. Actually, the Nebuchadnezzar Shukhari already has milah, but that the tefillah happens in the way it is. That the people are standing over him and they put him in miyad, etc.
Tana Rabbana.
Now we go to the parsha of Yifat Toar. We have here a very famous machloket, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, about how she is to behave during that 30 days, and it's 30 days if she doesn't immediately initiate an interest in joining before.
Tanu Rabbanan, v'gochad rosha v'yasta tziporneha. She'll shave her head and do her nails.
What does do her nails?
Rav Elazar takutz.
Rav Elazar says it means she cuts her nails.
Kim omer tagdil.
He says, no, she lets them grow.
Rav Elazar nimrasiya v'rosha nimrasiya v'tzipornayim.
It says about her head and about her tzipornayim. What is it about her head?
Ma'la lan ha'avara, afkana ha'avara. What's the asiyah barosh?
That there is a, it says that she's supposed to do something to her head. What is that? That's v'gilchat rosha, shaving her head. So clearly that means also that whatever thing she's doing with her fingernails is also getting rid of.
So it's cutting. Kiva omer namar asiyah barosh and namar asiyah b'tzipornayim. Ma'la lan nivul afkan nivur.
Kiva says, no, it says asiyah, reference to her head and reference to her fingernails. Just like the one with her head is a thing to make her disgusting, to have her shave her head, in the same way, the fingernails didn't make her disgusting, let them grow long. But we have a proof to Rabbi Eliezer from the Pasuk of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was the lame son of Yonatan, David's dear friend. And after Yonatan and his father and his brothers were killed, David, and after David became fully the king, invested king, he adopted Mephibosheth, and as part of his promise to Yonatan, and kept him at his table. And many and years later, when Avshalom, David's own son, rebelled against him, and David ran away, left to Machanaim on the other side of the Jordan. So Tziva, Mephibosheth's trusted guide, his executor, his watchman, came to David and said, Mephibosheth thinks that he's going to get the kingdom back. And so David, on the spot, said whatever it is he said, but when David came back, after Avshalom was killed, and David returned, Mephibosheth came up to see him. And Mephibosheth dressed as a mourner. So to say, I was mourning for the fact that you were gone, David, and now I don't care if you give me back anything that I originally had, or give me nothing, I'm just happy to see that you're alive.
In that description it says,
he did not do his legs and he did not do his mustache. What does that mean, lo asa?
Ma'asiya havara.
It means obviously he didn't shave. He was mourning. So in the same way, la'asot is to cut. So if he lo asa, means he didn't cut, that means that the Yifat Toar is supposed to cut. Good, so it's a support for Rabbi Elazar's position that that's what she's supposed to do.
Tanu Rabbanan, v'chtata via v'chima.
We have another machloket of Elazar v'chim about this. Elazar mer avia avia mamashi ma ima mamash. She's supposed to mourn for her father and mother, meaning her parents. Her parents were killed in war. Kiva mer avia v'ima zu avodah kachavim. No, Rekiva says she's supposed to mourn for the fact for her loss of avodah zara, meaning that she is going to be forcibly taken away from her idolatrous culture, and so she has a chance to mourn for that. V'cheinu omer, how do we know? Amrim la eitz aviata in Yirmiyahu. Says the people look at a tree and they call it father. But what it means is that when people talk about their avodah zarah, they refer to it in familiar, loving, intimate terms, like my beloved and like my father. So he says she should weep for her father and mother. That refers to avodah zarah. Now, the pasuk said she weeps for yerach yamim. How is that? Yerach shloshim yom. The rabbanon say that means 30 days. Shimon Elazar omer tishim yom. He says 90 days. Why? Because yerach shloshim. A month is 30. Yamim, because could have just said a month. Why yerach yamim? Yamim is another shloshim. And v'achar kein, and afterwards he will come and have beer with her. So the afterwards means after another period, shloshim. So that's 90. So matkiv to Ravina. Ravina says sort of reductio. He says, Eima yerach shloshim, yamim shloshim. So why don't you say based on your hermeneutics, yerach is a month, yamim is another month. And v'achar kein kihani. Maybe v'achar kein means and another period like that. So another 60, meaning 4 months. So kasha. Tanu rabbanan. And this is now a slightly related topic. L'kaimin avadim she'enam malim, mulim. You're allowed to keep avadim around who aren't nimol. You're allowed to keep them in your household. It may prevent you from eating korban pesach, depending. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva omer ein mekaimin. So machloket Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva about whether you're allowed to keep avadim around who aren't nimol. What do you do if they're not nimol? So either means you forcibly imal them, or more than likely what it means is that you have to sell them to a non-Jew. So Bishmuel says that in the Pasuk, which is Pasuk number 7 on the page, says that you're supposed to keep Shabbat in order that your animals, etc., will rest. And Ben Amatcha means the son of your handmaid, will rest. Now, who is that? If that's your regular Eved who's Nimol, he's already covered in Aseret HaDibrot, which is in Pasuk 8. All right, so it must be that this is referring to an Eved She'eino Nimol. Amaleh Elokech Eved Ben Hashmashot. So Rekim agrees that that Pasuk is talking about an Eved Arel. He says it must be talking about a case where you bought the Eved just before Shabbat, but you speak the Mulo, and you didn't have a chance to mal him on Shabbat. Because everybody agrees that that Pasuk is talking about an Eved Arel. My mashra, how'd they get that? The Tanya, v'nafesh ben amatcha, v'evad arela katum adaber. Because we have a braita in the Mechilta that defines v'nafesh ben amatcha as being an evad arel. Hatam evad arel, o'enu elu be'evad mahul. Maybe it's a real evad that's mahul. K'shu omer, l'man yanuach avdecha v'amatcha kamocha. In Pasuk number 8, in Aseret HaDibrot, it already says that your evad should rest. Hari evad mahul amur. Aman v'kayim v'nafesh ben amatcha, be'evad arel. So how do I explain this other Pasuk in Parshat Mishpatim, v'nafesh ben amatcha? That must be referring to an Eved Arel. V'hager. What is it? And that says v'hager at the last word in that pasuk in Parshat Mishpatim. Zeh ger toshav. That's referring to a ger toshav, meaning if there is a Jew, a non-Jew who's accepted the Shav Mitzvah B'nei Noach and is associated with your household, you have to make sure he rests on Shabbat too. Atomer is a ger toshav and a ger tzedek. Maybe ger there means a real convert. Shomer v'gercha Hashem v'sharecha. Back to pasuk number 8, Naseret HaDibrot, it says gercha Hashem v'sharecha. So, are a ger tzedek amor? That's already the ger tzedek. Aman v'kayem v'ager is a ger toshav. So, what do I do with pasuk number 7, the pasuk of Mishpatim? V'hager there must be a ger toshav. Good. Amar b'shimon levi. Alokeach eved minov v'kochavim v'lorat salamul. So, what do you do if you buy an eved from a goy and the eved is not agreeable to circumcise? V'gageli mo'ad yubet chodesh. You work with him for 12 months, you keep him around for 12 months, and you keep trying to convince him. Lo mal chozer mocholov v'kochavim. If he refuses after 12 months, you sell him back to the goy. You got 12 months to try to get him to agree. Amra Rabbanan kamed Rav Papa. So Rabbanan said this to Rav Papa. Come on. Delo ka Rabbi Akiva. They said, this can't be like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva amar ein mekamin. Rabbi Akiva said, you're not allowed to keep him around. So Rav Papa, feel the time Rabbi Akiva. Haimili hechem lo paskil lemilte. Maybe Rabbi Akiva meant you can't keep him around. That's when he never really agreed to it. If he, let's say, he agreed to it, you took him and he agreed to it, and then at the last minute he refused to mal, then you can take 12 months to try to convince him to go back to that decision. I quoted this thing in front of Rav Zvid. So, if that's the case, Rabbi Kiva agrees that you can keep an Eved around who's not Nimo for 12 months, as long as when you first took him he was agreeable and then he backed off, then why didn't you answer that beforehand when you said, what are you going to do with V'nafesh ben amatcha v'ager, and you see that an Eved Arel is around the house, and Rabbi Kiva said, oh, it's when you bought it Friday afternoon and there wasn't time to do Brit Milah. Why don't you just answer simply? It's an Eved that you bought, and he agreed to do Brit Milah, and then he backed off at the last minute, and this is happening during the 12 months. Alright, so the answer is that Chadami Trey Tami Kamar. You're right, there were two possible answers. He gave one of them. One of them was that weird circumstance of Friday afternoon. Yeah, but the other one could have been this. Now we're going to get a third answer. Shalach Ravin Mishmei de Rabbi Loi, V'chol Rabotai, Amruli Mishmo. So we have the following message from Rabbi Loi. That's Rabbi Yehuda's father. Ezu Eved Arel Shemutar Lekaimo. What kind of an Eved Arel are you allowed to keep around? Zev Shalach Chol Rabo Manat Shalol Lemulo. If he bought him on condition not to circumcise. In other words, he made a deal. I'm going to buy you, but not circumcise you. Amru Rabbanu Kamei Rav Papa, come on. So they asked Rav Papa, who could they support? It must be Delo Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva Amar Ein Mekamin. Rabbi Akiva said, you're not allowed to keep an Eved like that around. Rav Papa, for the time of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva could be agreeable. That's if you didn't make a condition. It's not that Rabbi Akiva says you're not allowed to ever have somebody who's you're responsible for in your household who is not Nimol. Rather, it's the deen that an Eved has to be Nimol. If he's agreeable to Nimol, you could buy him. And if he gets afraid, gets concerned, you have 12 months to try to convince him. On the other hand, you can also make a deal with him to bring him into the household without Milah, and that's fine too. Good. So which means that, by the way, Rabbi Akiva has two exceptions to his ruling that you can't keep Avadim around who are Arel. And that is if you're negotiating with him after he had already agreed to do it and then backed off at the last minute, or if you made a condition ab initio that that's how you would buy him. Amar Rav Kana, Amrita l'shmata kamer Rav Zvid min har Deyav. Amar li hachi ki Amar Rav Akiva v'lokech min har Shoshav l'speak l'mulo shteleha. So Rav Zvid said, if that's the case, that Rav Akiva has this other exception, why didn't he use that as the answer for v'yinafesh bin amatcha? V'utamech l'shteleach, and according to you, Rav Zvid, why didn't he give the other answer, which is that he was negotiating with him? Elachan mitrei v'tlat tami kamar. The answer is that there were three different ways Rav Akiva could have answered the question. He could have said it was an Eved you bought Friday afternoon, didn't have time. Could be an Eved that you were negotiating with, or an Eved that you had made a condition with. And so he gave one of the answers. Yatav Rabbi Chanina Papi v'Rebbe, Amiv Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, they were sitting Akila Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. So these three Chachmei Eretz Yisrael were sitting in Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha's backyard. Yatav Yikamri, and they said, Irachai Tetab Eretz Yisrael v'Lu'atzu Avadel Amul. There was one particular city, and none of the Avadim there wanted to do Brit Milah. The Gugulimahim at Shema Sachodesh. For 12 months, the masters tried to negotiate with them and get them to agree. The Chazur Machum of the Kochavim. And then after 12 months, they didn't agree. They sold them back to the non-Jewish owners, or some other non-Jewish owners. Kiman. So who is that like? Ki Haitan and Atan, Lokachim and Avri Kochavim, Lotzalamu, Megal Gelim at Shema Sachodesh. Omachozer Machol of the Kochavim. It's exactly like the author of the Brighter that we just read. It says you have 12 months to try to convince them. And if not, you have to sell them back. You can't hold on to them indefinitely. As a in RL. On the other hand, you do have some time to try to convince him. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Ein Mashin Otob Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Shimon Elazar speaks up and says that there are some limitations to that also. If you're negotiating with an Eved, you don't hold on to him in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Nehef Seh Taharot. Because as a result of having this fellow around, he is still has a din of a goy until he has been Nimol. And their midrabanan, a goy, is tamei all the time, and therefore any tarot that he touches are going to be affected, and we don't want that to happen. V'yiras v'chal is far another exception. We don't allow such an eved to exist, to be maintained by a Jewish owner in a border city. Why? In Ashinato kolikar shemi yishma davar v'yelech. Kolikar means in Eretz Yisrael chutzlarts, because perhaps shemi yishma davar v'yelech v'yomar lachavero bet kochavi. He might go and report. He might hear the Jews are planning to do this. You know, he's a fifth column. Brit Milah is a very powerful statement that really identifies him as a Jew. And then the concern about him being a fifth column is assuaged. Tanya, Rabbi Hanani ben Osher Megamliel, ma gerim bizman hazeh me'unin v'yisurin ba'in aleihem. So he made an observation that gerim in their day, and by the way, there were a surprisingly high number of gerim during the time of after the Churban. They converted from the Roman population. But why do they suffer so much? So he answered, because these are people who did not properly keep Shem Mitzvah B'nei Noach before him. He said, what do you mean? When a person converts, it's like the newborn. There's no accounting for what happened before. So Rabbi Yossi gave another answer. They don't know as much as Yisrael, and they make a lot of mistakes. He says, evidently in his day, people were converting not out of a love for Judaism, but out of a fear that if they didn't convert, they would be punished severely. And so that's why they have difficult lives. And Acherim being Rav Meir, says that because they delayed coming Tachat Kanfei HaShechinah, in other words, they converted, so why didn't they convert last week? Why didn't they convert a year ago? What have they been doing since? Why have they been doing all this time? We have a pasuk to support that. When Boaz turns to Ruth in the field, and Ruth is so astounded that Boaz is giving her all of this favor and allowing her to pick in his field and giving her lunch, etc., he says, God should pay you back. You should get great sachar from God, under whose wings you took refuge. And that becomes the model, sort of the motto for a ger. A ger is somebody who takes refuge under the wings of the Shekhinah. And as a result of that, we see that the person should have come quicker. In fact, they didn't come quicker is why they live a difficult life. So, we've finally reached the plateau of the Mishnah Daf Mem Tet, and Mirtz Hashem, in the next podcast, we will finish Perek Revi. Everybody should have a wonderful day.